You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
You don't have to live the Christian life very long before you realize it's hard. No one promised it would be easy, and no one said that we could do it in our own strength. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and as we study the book of Jeremiah with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, we hear one theme repeat itself: turn back to God. It was Jeremiah's message to the people of Judah, and it's God's message to every wandering heart today in every generation. You've gone far enough. Now turn back. You know that we love to read letters. We do that so often on the program, and I try to include a few every week that I think are going to encourage you. So often we hear of people who thought that they were too far from God, or that they had lived too hard of a life, or maybe they made too many bad decisions. But you know, like the prophet Jeremiah, who compassionately and passionately called people back to God, we keep telling the story of God's love and His forgiveness, and people, well, they're responding all over the world. In fact, listen to this note from a man who listens to Through the Bible in Cantonese. I have heard your teachings from the Bible. I am filled with hope and with questions. God has never been in my thoughts or a part of my life, but now I wonder what I have been missing. Please pray for me. Now that's the kind of request that we can run with. In fact, if you'd like to pray for this man and millions of others listening to Through the Bible, then why don't you join our world prayer team? As we pray every day for a different country, signing up, it's super easy. Just visit ttb.org/pray. Or if you'd like more information, you can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, let's not miss the opportunity that we have to pray together now. Heavenly Father, your love reaches to the heavens and across the entire earth. And we intercede for people in places where your word is not easily heard and almost never taught. So draw these who are yours to yourself, Lord, and thank you that your mercy reaches us no matter where we are. Open our hearts to the truth of your word today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now turn to Jeremiah 22 as we make our way through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, last time we left off here in Jeremiah, the harshest message given in the Word of God he gave here in this 22nd chapter we looked at last time. But because I was anxious to see the judgment against Coniah at the end of the chapter, I passed over his judgment against the father of Jehoiachin, the judgment against Jehoiakim. He was an evil ruler also, but during his reign there was prosperity and men were getting rich and the poor were being ground underfoot. That was the picture that you have. And the very interesting thing is that God has a great deal to say in His Word about the poor. The very fact that the Word of God pays so much attention to that, you can't ignore it, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, will you notice verse 13? This begins God's message concerning Jehoiakim. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, that is, getting rich by a wrong method, and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work. You see, underpaid, and while the rich man's getting richer, the poor man is getting poorer, that saith, I will build me a wide house, and large chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar, and painted with vermilion. Shalt thou reign because thou closest thyself in cedar? Did not thy father eat and drink and do judgment and justice? And then it was well with him. Now he's referring back to Josiah, the good king. Now listen to what he says about him. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? But thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness and for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. Now that chapter 22, and I read from verse 13 down through verse 17, and I could read on, but I'm going to break off the reading at that particular juncture, because here you find God's judgment that's pronounced upon them. Two things were happening. The rich were getting rich by wrong methods, and the poor were getting poorer. And the average man actually was suffering in that day, while a few were getting rich. Now, God has a great deal to say about this. This man, Jeremiah, he calls attention to it here, that rich men were heaping up wealth by others' labors, and they were treading down the poor. And in their pride and in their arrogance, they built themselves palaces and lived as though God had forgotten their iniquitous means of the acquisition of wealth. And may I say to you that the Word of God has a great deal to say about it. He said in the New Testament, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl, for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you." There are two things that God condemns the rich for: the way they get money, and the way that they spend money, the way they use it. And may I say this very candidly, that everything is slanted for the rich man. I find out that I'm paying more taxes than some men that are worth $1 million. Well, you'd think I was a millionaire. And I've discovered that the tax laws are geared to protect the rich, and the politicians gear everything in favor of the rich, those that give to political campaigns. That's about all they do give to. They never give to the Lord's work. They never give anything to get the Word of God out. And God notices that. And God recognizes that. The way they make it at the expense of the poor, and they spend it on themselves, building palaces to live in. Now, I want to say this very candidly, and I know that I step on some toes, and somebody's going to say, "Well, McGee, it's quite obvious you're sure not trying to get the support of the rich people for your program." Well, I'm giving you what Jeremiah gave. He never got the support of the rich either, and I'll have to take it on the chin. But very frankly, it's sinful for any man to live in a mansion while there's so many poor people today that are in poverty. No Christian ought to do that. Now, if you've got that kind of money, why aren't you spending it to help some of the poor? And there are a lot of poor Christians. There are a lot of God's children today are poor folk, and they're not being helped. I know they're not being helped. And irrespective of color, there are a lot of poor people that are Christians and God's children, and the rich Christian is passing them by while they're building mansions to live in. And I'm not sure that Christian organizations ought to have plush and luxurious accommodations. I want to be very frank today that until we deal with this, and religion caters to the rich. I meet many preachers that like to tell me, "Well, I have so-and-so, you know, he's a millionaire, he's a member of my church." Well, I'd like to know what he's doing to get the Word of God out. I played golf with a man they told me was worth $20 million. They wanted me to play with him. He says, "You know, he's interested in your program, he listens to it, you know." And we rode along, and I must confess, I told a man all about the program, not until he asked. And when he asked, I could give him an enthusiastic sales talk about the Through the Bible program, what it's doing today. And he was interested, said he listened to the program. You know how much he's given to the program? Not one dime. You say, "Well, McGee, you're crying, and you're using yourself as an illustration again." Maybe so, but I'm telling you what I know. And this is something I know today. And this is the thing that the Word of God condemns, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Read the Epistle of James. He has a whole chapter devoted to the rich. and the way that they get their money and the way that they spend their money today. I'd hate to be a man, a Christian, that leaves $1 million when I die. I think, my friend, you're going to be in trouble when you come in the presence of the Lord. He'll want to know, and I don't think he'd object to your comforts. I think he wants you to be. He wouldn't have given you all of that. But he also is going to hold you responsible for using it in a way for the glory of God. Now, I'm in trouble. I recognize that. But somebody needs to speak out on this, because there's too much of this in the Word of God. And God makes it very clear here. In verse 16, he judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? God says, Josiah knew me, and he knew that he couldn't be my follower and not have a concern for the poor and needy, because God says, I have a concern for them. The two groups of people that the hardest people to reach with the gospel, you know who they are? The filthy rich and the dirty poor. The one that are very poor and the one that are very rich. Now, God says, I'd like to equalize that, because I want them to hear the gospel and be saved. I want the rich way up at the top to help those way down at the bottom. That's exactly what God is saying. And then those two groups can be reached with the Word of God. And that, may I say, I think is fundamentally the problem in America today. I do not think it's racial. I do not think it's a class struggle. I think it's a question today of rich and poor, my friend. That is the struggle that's in the world today. And communism never would have risen in the world if it had not been for the filthy rich and for the dirty poor. Those two. And it's the thing that God says he judges. My, it's difficult to let this alone. Now in chapter 23, we do have a ray of hope. What is the popular song, Every Cloud Has a Silver Lining? Well, this cloud, dark cloud, has a silver lining, because it never got so dark but what the prophet didn't see down into the future. Now in chapter 23, after this harshest judgment that's in the Bible against Coniah, then the sun breaks through. Now he opens chapter 23, though, with this: Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. And the pastors here are not preachers. He'll speak about the religious rulers later on. But here, the pastors are the kings, the politicians, the people that are ruling, the ones that are making the laws, those that are at the top. And God says, Woe to them. Now he says, Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, you've driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And God says he's going to judge them. And he did in that day. Now the sun breaks through. It never got so dark, but what the prophet didn't look down to the end of the tunnel, and he saw the light. Verse 3 of chapter 23 of Jeremiah, And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I've driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. God says, the day is coming that I intend to take over. And when I do, then you'll see the poor taken care of. And you're going to see an altogether different type of government than we have in the world today. Verse 5, Now behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Now there's a king coming in David's line, but this king, Jeconiah, and all of this line, although they be in David's line, they are rejected and cut off. But you can't destroy God's purpose. You may think you can, But God will bring through another line, the line of Nathan, another son of David. And through that line, there will come a peasant by the name of Mary, a peasant girl up in Nazareth. And she's going to bear the Messiah. She's going to bear the King, if you please. And when he presented himself to the world, he says, "Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And you can't have a kingdom without the King. What he said, the King is here. And they rejected the King. But my friend, he has the last word. He rejected them. And he said, the King's coming back someday. And he's going to set up that kingdom. And verse 6, in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. May I say to you, have you ever heard of that being a plank in some political campaign, that the man's righteous and he's going to act righteous? I haven't found that yet. They make every other claim except they're going to be righteous and they're going to follow God's plan and God's program for a government. They don't dare say that today. Verse 7, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. They shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up, which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Now, this is one of the most remarkable prophecies in the Word of God. The oldest religious holiday that there is today is Passover, the Jewish Passover. And regardless of what type of Israelite the man might be, could be Reformed or Orthodox, wouldn't make any difference. They remember the Passover, the deliverance out of Egypt. That goes back. God says the day is coming when I bring them back into that land, which I shall do, that they'll forget the deliverance out of Egypt, and they will remember this new thing that I intend to do. It'll so far surpass the deliverance out of the land of Egypt. This is tremendous, my friend. And you either believe this or you don't believe it. God's not through with the nation Israel. Now, verse 17, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say, every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. And these dreamers today are talking about they're going to bring in world peace. And all of them are talking along that line. God says you won't do it. You can't do it. God says, as we saw in Isaiah, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Our problem is not the fact that you can't make peace and that people don't want peace. The trouble is that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't know how bad we really are. And wicked men in power today cannot bring peace on this earth. And if they can, they'll contradict God's word. Verse 21, he turns now to the religious rulers. He said, you can't trust today. The political rulers, they can't bring in this peace. They ignore the poor. And in verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. And God says, now this bunch of prophets, and the land was filled with them in that day. God says, I didn't send them. They're not giving my message at all. God rejected both the political rulers and the religious rulers. And I think that he'd do the same thing today in this world, all over the world. Because who's seeking for God today, even among the religious rulers of the world? They're out for religion. Oh, they're religion up to their eyebrows and as pious as a poison puppy. But they just don't happen to be seeking after the living and true God. Now, God says here in verse 30, therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. And today, the liberal is casting reflection on the word of God, says it's not the word of God, stealing out of the hearts of people. I'd hate to be a godless college professor or a godless preacher today who is wrecking the faith of believers. God says, here, I'm going to do something about it someday. And God's in no hurry. Don't let that deceive you, because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily. It's in the heart of the sons of man to do evil. They think you're getting by with it. God says, I got eternity ahead of me, and I happen to be running the show anyway, and the time will come when I'll handle it. Now, we have here in chapter 24 the sign of the figs here, good figs, bad figs. God makes the distinction between good and evil, and he does it here. And he says that it just happens to be, I intend to send these people into captivity because these are bad figs. That is God's judgment and his estimation. Now you come in chapter 25 to a remarkable chapter, because now Jeremiah, he spells out the captivity and even gives the length of time that they'll go into captivity. In chapter 25, verse 9, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Remember now, Daniel had led this man into a saving knowledge of God, and will bring him against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. Now, a great many people wonder why the land of Israel is not the land flowing with milk and honey today. A great water shortage is over there today. They desperately need water. Now, why is that true? God says, I intend to make it a perpetual desolation. I intend to let the world know I've judged not only a people, but a land. And the judgment of God is upon that land specifically, as the curse of sin is in the entire earth. This earth is not producing near what it's capable of producing, because the curse of sin is upon it. Now, God says, moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. God is taking away from them, he says, all the fun they've been having, and no more marrying and giving in marriage, the sound of the millstone, business, commerce was going to end, and the light of the candle, that's at home in the evening. There'll be no more of that, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. When God's dealing with the nation Israel, he deals with a calendar. He'll spell out the time. When he's dealing with the church, there's no time given. And you and I have no right today to say that even the Lord Jesus is coming soon. How do you know that? You don't know it. We have not been given a calendar. Now somebody says, but McGee, you say you believe he's coming soon. That's right, and I say it right now. I believe he's coming soon. You want to know something? I don't know. We just don't know, and we have no right to say he's coming soon. We can just say we believe it. That's as far as we can go. Verse 12, it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. Now, God has done that. There's no argument here. If you want to argue this, you're arguing semantics, and you're not arguing prophecy. God has accomplished this. Well, we're going to have to leave off right there today, and until next time, may God richly bless you, because at that time, we'll pick up at verse 15 in chapter 25.
You know, there's no argument for what God has accomplished or will accomplish in world history and in our own lives. In fact, there's a promise in Philippians 1:6 that says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let that encourage you as you persevere in your faith. Now, in the next study, we continue our journey through Jeremiah, and looking ahead, it's not too early to download Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for our upcoming study in 1st and 2nd Timothy. If you listen by app, you'll find them in the menu, or get your free copy by downloading our digital book titled Briefing the Bible at ttb.org. If you'd prefer to have an abridged paperback copy sent to you by mail, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And when you call us, ask to receive our terrific monthly newsletter that contains more great teaching by Dr. McGee and information on how you can pray along with our world prayer team. You know, I found this month's feature on why study Jeremiah really helpful, and I think you will too. Again, the number is 1-800-65-BIBLE, or download your copy immediately over at ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, and until next time, God bless you as you walk with Him in His Word.
Jesus made it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Today's study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee is brought to you by Through the Bible, and it's made possible by the generous prayer and financial investments from listeners like you on the Bible Bus all around the world.
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, praise the Lord, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to all our faith partners and radio listeners. We are the church and the city with the city in our hearts. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly of God in Melbourne, Florida. And the church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Come and be blessed of the Lord. Now, here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord. We thank the Lord once again for a wonderful opportunity that he was given unto us. We just recently returned back from our family reunion there in Columbia, South Carolina. All of our relatives and from Anchorage, Alaska, and all around New York. And we just had a joyous time. And I just thank the Lord for allowing us that wonderful opportunity that we were able to come together. And that's our natural family, members from all over the country. But there's another family we have, which is the family of God, which we have not forgotten. We believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he has done for us through the family of God. We have brothers and sisters in Christ that love the Lord, and we also have not forgotten that there's a second family, which is the family of God. So we have been born into that spiritual family, and we give the Lord all the praise and honor and glory for that. Praise the Lord. I want to pray with my faith partners out there. I love you all, and I thank God wherever you are and whoever you are. I want to tell you that I love you with the love of the Lord. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord, once again that we're able to speak to those that are in the family of God and even those that aren't. I pray that the ones that aren't, that they will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and realize that the time is almost up and there's just a little bit before the curtain closes completely, and that you have an opportunity to come into the family of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, thank you once again. Bless them. Touch their hearts as the Holy Spirit will divinely guide and lead us all, that we give you all the praise and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. We want to look at the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. We want to go there for a little bit, and from there, line upon line and precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. We know that the Lord blesses everything that's under his anointing. And he has blessed us all with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Everything that we desire to do is in the Lord. It's all in him, through him, by him, and for him. And we love that. Praise God. So Ephesians 6, and we want to begin at the 10th verse there. And Minister Gloria, would you read when Apostle Paul was telling the Church of Ephesus, finally. You know, when we say finally, we mean that, well, I'm not going to tell you anymore. This is the final. I want to tell you that, brethren, you are to keep your mind and heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that this is a spiritual fight. And we want to fight a good fight of faith. Praise God. Amen. So he said in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, and Minister Glory, would you kindly read that? Praise God.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Be strong in the Lord. He never said for us to be strong in our own natural ability, but he said be strong in the Lord. Other words, be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. Be strong in him. Praise God. He is our strength. He is the one that makes it possible for us to endure all of the oppositions and the challenges that comes up against us as members of the body of Christ. The Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So Jesus is our strength. He is the Word of God. So we want to just believe and trust in what he has said in his Word, and not allow anything to come and try and circumvent what we are preaching and teaching. Apostle Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong. I said, be strong. In other words, the strength that we have, we can utilize this strength against any opposition or foe that comes up against us. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So Apostle Paul is telling us here in Ephesians 6, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In other words, everything that we're doing, it should be God's strength and not ours, because our strength in the natural will come to naught, because it's all from the outer man. But the strength of the Lord, the Word, the power is in the Word of God. So Minister Glory says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Yes.
Of his might.
Yes.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Put on the whole armor of God.
Right.
Put on the whole armor of God, mm-hmm, that you are able to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the strategies, mm-hmm, or the deception, mm-hmm, or whatever it is that the enemy will try to do. We only can do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because what happens is that we must realize that we are in spiritual warfare. We are in warfare where we cannot see the actual enemy or enemies that we are up against. But because of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done, he defeated the powers of darkness. He conquered them at the cross of Calvary and defeated them. So we understand through the spiritual fight that we are not dealing with anything which we can see with our natural eyes. They're always around us and trying to confuse us and trying to hinder us and trying to do so many things that will cause us to be discouraged and say, well, we're going to give up. We can't do anything. But when you realize what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and what he is telling us through his Word and through Apostle Paul, he says, for we wrestle the fight is not against flesh and blood. It's not against the people or folks in whom you see with your natural eyes. They're just being used by these spirits. But when you understand what God's word says, that the fight is against disembodied spirits, spirits that and bodies that are being utilized by the work of the enemy. So, Minister Gloria, you want to read that?
Yes, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
So the fight is not against flesh and blood. It's not against who we see with our natural eyes. We see a lot of things and people that are doing different things that are contrary to the word of God. But we must look beyond the natural and begin to see what is taking place from a spiritual perspective. The Bible tells us that while we look not at the things which are seen, you see what's going on is you can be deceived by the things you see with your natural eyes. But when you are trusting in what the Word of God is saying and allowing the Holy Spirit to lift the curtains of your eyes so that you can see into the spirit realm, you'll know that this wrestling is not with flesh and blood. They are disembodied spirits that are utilizing people that fail to understand that this warfare is spiritual.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with the natural. And this fight is being taken place between your two ears, your mind. Thoughts are coming into your mind from a spiritual standpoint to try and govern every activity that you're doing. But when we understand, as Apostle Paul is giving us this revelational knowledge concerning who we're up against, and thank God that the fight is not with flesh and blood. Because if it was flesh and blood fight, I mean, there would be people laying all around and all kinds of things taking place there. But thank God that this is a spiritual warfare. And as the word says, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We won't allow any stronghold to build itself up or fortify itself in our mind, because the moment that a lie will come into our mind, we do exactly what the word has said. The word says through the power of the Holy Spirit. It says to cast down. Cast down. Minister Gloria, in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, the Bible tells us that we are to cast down reasoning, images, imaginations, and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Thoughts come into our minds that are against the knowledge of God, and we have the ability to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. No matter what thought that's coming in that's not of God, we cancel those thoughts. We put them in prison. We capture them where they won't build up anything in our mind, and we continue to walk with the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Minister Gloria, would you read 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5?
It says,
praise God.
Casting down,
yes,
imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God.
That's against the word of God.
And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Praise God. And bring in every thought, not just one thought, but every thought. When a lie comes into your mind and telling you anything that's contrary to the word of God, you ought to put that thought in captivity. And most of us today, We don't pay that much attention to the things that's coming into our mind, and we just go on by our business. But the thing that's coming in that is against the knowledge of God, it is trying to fortify, in other words, to build a fortress, a stronghold in your mind. And before you know anything, those things will be manifesting themselves out of your mouth when they leave your mind and go into your heart. And the Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we have to, as children of God, speak the word of God and walk with the mind of Christ. Now, Apostle Paul says, for we, he's talking about the church.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the church.
Yes.
He's talking about no building or denomination. He is speaking clearly and simply of the individual. Oh, I feel like preaching in this thing here this morning. Praise God. He's talking about you and me. Praise God. We are the church.
Amen.
And the forces of darkness are coming against no building or denomination. It's coming against the people in those denominations. So Apostle Paul said, well, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood,
but against principalities.
These are the princes in the palaces, I say.
Demonic powers.
Demonic powers.
Yes. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world.
Yes.
And against spiritual wickedness in high places.
These are demon spirits, and all these things are operating under the auspices of Satan.
Amen.
And he, as Jesus has told us that in John 10 and verse 10, he says that the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life, and have life more abundantly, or perhaps to the overflow. Let me tell you something. Most folks today don't realize when something is going on in their lives, they think that it's just a mishap. No, it's not a mishap. This is the enemy that's trying to destroy you. He doesn't love you. He doesn't love the children of God. He's trying to destroy you. This is why we have to plead the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. And any thought that comes in our mind, we have to cast that thing down.
Amen.
Put it in captivity. A lot of folks don't do it. They just let those things stay in their mind. I walk around, praise God, rebuking thoughts that will come into my mind that's not of God. And the scripture tells us that anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, first of all, Minister Glory, you have to know what the knowledge of God is.
Right.
You have to know what the word of God says.
Exactly.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go ahead?
He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God.
The whole armor of God. That's the complete armor of God. We put on the whole armor of God, the complete armor of God. Amen.
That you be able to withstand in the evil day. And these days are evil.
These days are evil.
And having done all to stand.
Amen. Amen. We stand only in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We stand according to what Jesus has done for us all on Calvary's cross. Every thought that comes up against us or coming to our mind, we are to cast it down. You know, Minister Glory, the battle is in the mind.
That's the battlefield.
That's the battlefield. That's where the wars are being fought.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what happens is that the enemy is trying to use your mind to identify with the things of the flesh, so that you can carry out these activities that he has placed in your mind. The Holy Spirit is trying to use your mind so that you can carry out what God wants done. Oh, praise God. Amen. That's what's going on. So this battle is going, and the Word of God tells us that the Spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit, and the things that you want to do, you cannot do. You see, so there is a fight that's going on upstairs, and we as children of God must allow our minds to be renewed according to the Word of God. And anything that comes into our mind, we are to put it in captivity if it's a thought that's against the Word of God. You know, it's not that simple, as I say it, because a lot of times we are distracted, and perhaps a lot of things is going on. So what happened, they try to get in there, and when you are distracted, that thing is in there. That thought is there. We have to cancel everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and put it in captivity, put it in prison.
Right.
Prison in prison. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times the question is, well, how are we walking with the mind of Christ? Mm. See, we supposed to be walking with the mind of Christ. Philippians 2, verse 5 tells us there that, say, let this mind be in you. So what's happening is that a lot of things is going on that's not of God, trying to hold us into a pattern where we allow those thoughts to germinate there so that at some time he can use these thoughts. And I tell you, what is happening is that you see some people when they flare up and they say something, an outburst and so forth. See, that's a thought that has not been put in prison or in captivity, and it's been just there, exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And that's where you have to cancel those things. And then later on you say, oh, well, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to do that. Well, you see, you've allowed those thoughts to take up residence.
Yes.
That's why we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Everything that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God, we're to put it into captivity. And that's every thought. And you as a child of God are responsible for your thoughts. Uh-huh. You don't allow the enemy to use your mind to do what he wants done. You are responsible because the scripture tells us here that what we got to do as a child of God, to cast down reasoning, images, imaginations, everything that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God. We're to bring it into captivity. Bring it into captivity, every thought, unto the obedience of Christ. Unto the obedience of Christ. That's what we're to do. And we have the power through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So, putting on this whole armor of God, we're able to stand against the wiles or the strategies or the trickery, the thoughts that the enemy will use. But I want to say something here that it doesn't matter who you are. The enemy wants to use you. Mm-hmm. I want to say that again. It doesn't matter who you are. If you are not spending time in the Word of God, you're allowing the world and the thoughts of the enemy to conform you where you will speak. And a lot of times people are speaking this lingo, but they have no victory.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, but they have no victory. Mm-hmm. You know? So the whole thing is that we've allowed a lot of things to come into our mind. But when we put on the whole armor of God,
praise God,
we're able to stand. And that way, the helmet, as the word says, the helmet of salvation. You must keep that helmet tight on your head from a spiritual standpoint. In other words, where nothing can seep in there to try and disturb your thinking or your mind. And this is the helmet of salvation. You are to walk and say, Lord, I thank you for saving me. Praise God. I thank you, Lord. And you keep that in your mind. Praise the Lord. And let that mind, let those words trickle 12 inches down to your heart. And then out of your heart, you confess that you are a child of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. So you let that word come out of your mind into your heart so that you can confess that you are a child of God.
That's right.
So the helmet of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a helmet.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and there's much teaching on this, but we don't want to get into all of the intricate details of what this epistle is talking about in Ephesians 6, because Apostle Paul was in prison, and what happened is that he was looking at a Roman soldier. But anyway, it's so important that we keep our mind on what the Word of God says. Thank you. And you want to just look at the next verse there, Minister Glory, in Ephesians 6 before we close, because time goes so fast.
Yes, it does.
Praise the Lord.
It does.
Amen.
The next one, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. We want to be a blessing to those out there in Radio Land through God's Word. We want to just share what you've heard, and your Bible tells you in Ephesians 6, and you can study it at your own leisure. But before we close this broadcast, I want my lovely wife to extend a salvation plan, divine salvation,
amen,
that only comes from Jesus.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. Well, God bless you all out there in Radio Land. I thank God for you. We love you. And stay tuned next week at the same time by the grace of God to hear the Word of God. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.